The A.C. Green Show.
Welcome to another episode of the A.C. Green Show podcast. You know me, you know this is critical thinking space. Yep. Thought-provoking conversation happens here. I am pro-black, but that does not mean I'm anti-anything or anybody else. I love everybody. With me today, Thomas Da Vinci. Hey, Thomas, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, AC Green? I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing very good. So, Thomas, you're an artist.
Yes, sir, I am.
An artist in the form of a singer, a music artist.
Yep, a rapper, singer, songwriter, and producer.
How long have you been doing that?
For 10 plus years. I've been involved in music my whole life, I could say, but as far as pursuing it as a career, 10 years.
10 years. You went to high school, elementary school, obviously. Talk about that. What was your education like?
My education was, you know, typical young black man in Chicago area, Southside, growing up. I went to a grammar school right around the corner from my house, walking distance. They're very community oriented, but live in the hood. So, you know, you have your hope, have your woes there. High school, I went to Percy L. Junior.
You said woes. So what are some of the woes you experienced growing up on the south side of Chicago?
Well, growing up in a very Afrocentric household and, you know, pro-black household, growing up, that really wasn't the, you know what I'm saying, the wave how it is right now. So I get teased a lot, or, like, you know what I'm saying, joked on a lot. It ain't too much serious.
But what's Afrocentric? I mean, what does that
Afrocentric,
mean?
Afrocentric, pretty much aware that even though I was born in America, that my bloodline didn't start in America. And, like, so, you know, my parents, they were real heavy on reminders that, you know, our ancestors are from Africa, and that we didn't start it here as slaves. You know, our bloodline didn't start as slaves. So they did that to execute any type of slave mentality from us growing up and stuff, you know. So we learned to love one another regardless of they skin color, their background.
So how old are you?
I'm 28.
You have brothers and sisters?
Yep, I have five brothers and sisters. Six brothers and sisters, including me. Yeah, three sisters, two brothers.
All right. So you grew up with your mom and your dad at the same household?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. Your mother and father still together?
Yep, they are. They're still together, fortunately.
So check it out. So you've already said some things that, you know, would not be the average household or the average black household. Your mom and dad are together.
Yeah.
You grew up going to school. You went to the same school I went. I graduated. As a matter of fact, I was in the first graduating class of Percy Julian High School.
Wow.
In 1979. So okay. Here it is. You come all these many years after. It is amazing that some of the things you're saying to me, I could kind of hear that, you know, from my time. But here's something that I know is different for your time. Number one, your mom and dad are still together, and you grew up in a household where you were taught outside of your Percy Julian education, your public school education, you were taught in your house how to understand who you were and your bloodline. That had to be crazy for you to, you know, go to school every day, walk down the streets every day with your friends every day. Here it is, you're espousing these Afrocentric thoughts. And what did your friends in 8th grade, 7th grade, 6th grade, 5th grade, high school, how did they take you?
Tell me about it. I was still me, you know. They took me as the nice kid, sweet kid, you know, either lame or just a good kid and whatnot. It was all love. I can honestly say it's just that they had their own different understanding of love, what it was, and so I just had to meet them where they were at, and you know, not try to force them to where I was at. So it was kind of it's an intriguing experience once I reflect on it, but nothing I changed you know, for anything, I would like to say I'm still friends with a lot of my friends that I grew up with, fifth, sixth, seventh grade.
All right. So out of those people that you're still friends with, how many would you imagine have converted over to your way of thought?
Wow. Like I'll honestly say my close friends, like almost all of them, in the sense of like acknowledging that, you know, that, acknowledging their consciousness, you know, their awareness about the state of America, and, you know, and things like that, to a certain extent, some more than others, I'll say.
Yeah. How do you take that cultural knowledge you got from your parents? How do you take that in as you got older? How do you fuse that into your music?
How I do it is I try not to oversaturate it in my music, you know, because this is something. This is information I really value, and it's like I don't want it to ever come off like it's something I just found out, you know, and I want to write a song about it. I want to, you know, do things like that. So I take it in a way, how I approach it in my music is I reflect internally in myself to like revert back to the teachings that were taught to us. And which is to acknowledge self, and, you know, and be aware of who you are, and you know, how you are as a human being. And so I like to be very, very self-aware in my music, where with different topics that I go through as a young Black man growing up, which I know a lot of my peers can relate to.
Yeah,
you know, far as relationships, social. Wise, friendship, internal insecurity wise, you know, things like that.
Hey, listen, so the brother down there that got shot in Brunswick, you know, he was not that far from your age. So how do you think about things like that when they happen, you know, whether it's a police officer, maybe that, you know, kills a Black young man, or whether it's another Black young man that kills a Black young man, or, you know, racist, and what it's like in this case, killing a Black. How does that hit your head when you first hear something like that?
Man, it's a process, you know. Like I want to feel angry, I want to feel infuriated about it, but then there's a numbness to it because of how much I've seen of it already. And then there's a reflection to it, to how I want to feel, and then how I want to go about that feeling. Like, do I want to be counterproductive? Do I want to blend in with the crowd? Or do I want to take this feeling and channel it into something else, to something that can help it not happen again? And so, like, when I see things like that, you know, I can speak for everyone, you know, about how messed up it is in America, and how racist things can get, and how lost we are as a people when it comes to Black on Black violence, and how we need to stop hating each other, and how the things we should do, and we, you know, that we already actually know, we just have to, you know, face them internally in private by ourselves in order for us to actually grow. And 'cause I honestly feel that, you know, beating a dead horse ain't gonna get it to run. So like, if that horse knows that, you know, he needs to get up and run, then just let him get up and run on his own. You ain't gotta beat him.
And so, you being Afrocentric, you said that, you know, the cultural thing, you don't try to beat people over the head with in your music. But how much of the social thing, you know, the political, social, cultural, social, political thing is in your music?
I love to sprinkle it in there. I have a line where I say, I'm at the start from the beginning of the verse, but it's in the beginning of the verse, so it's not, I won't take too long. I say, if they ask you who I am, tell them Da Vinci, and I'm ready for whatever they'll be sending. I be out the way, society be iffy, and addicting, so engaging be so tempting. But I make sure when I contribute, it be lifting up the spirits and the souls that share my instinct. And the urge to want to put ourselves 6 feet up or down, it all depends upon the mood swing. Then, you know, but I say, you know, I stay out the way because society be, you know, be iffy. In the terms of that, you know, no matter if these days, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, there's going to be someone that's going to come with a counter argument or, you know, something to negate what you're saying. And I honestly believe, you know, in our community that we are the first ones to always react to a situation that we see, you know, instead of dealing with it internally and communicating it in private, you know, so we can actually find a way to move forward as a people rather than just, you know, yelling at the screen.
So I want your real opinion about this. So I'm 58 years old. You're 28, 38, 48. 50, that's 30 years difference.
You're still young to me, brother.
I take that. So look at this. I mean, you know, you had great parents. In a lot of ways, my age even, you know, I feel that there are some things that we may have done or not done that didn't really lay a good foundation for you guys. I mean, of course, you know, parents do the best they can. I mean, older folks do what they think they should be doing. But in terms of the politics of it all, what things would you say that you're not just necessarily me or your parents, but overall in the generations that preceded you, what things you think, like in terms of voting, in terms of policy, in terms of just protesting, in terms of pushing the envelope, in terms of sacrifice, what things do you think that we could have really done better that could have really laid a greater foundation for you?
First and foremost, I like to say that none of us asked to be here, so I like to not blame the ones before me because they didn't ask to be in the situation that they was in too. They was just dealt. They just played the cards they was dealt and did the best they could. But I could say what could have been done better in retrospect is that we could have focused more locally than, you know, globally and more. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, voting locally and like getting the right councilman in, getting the right alderman in, getting the right mayor in, getting the right governor in, rather than worrying about who's the president. Things like that, you know.
Interesting. Because there's a saying that says that all politics is truly local, because as much as you may, in this case, you know, kind of like or dislike the current president, that person is going to have very little to do with who picks up your garbage in your alley. Yes. You know, that's going to be your local politician and your local taxes and all that. You know, it's a very, very intelligent answer, by the way. You know, you know, a lot of people get caught up in the emotion of politics, and politics is not an emotional thing.
It's not an emotional thing. It's just business.
It's business. It's really the allocation of resources. And you know, the politicians should not be your folk heroes anyway. They should be people that serve you, not you serve them.
Exactly. I've seen somewhere that the Constitution was made to control the government, not the people.
That is very true. Come on, brother. Look at this. Now we go claim you from Julian High School now, because this brother, man, some real intellect. I mean, you know.
Man, I'm a Jaguar.
You're a Jaguar. So look at this.
Shout out to all my Jaguars.
There you go. Hey, yeah. Jay for life. Hey, look. You the song that you sent me, what's the name of that song?
It's called All I Ever Wanted.
What is the song about?
It's about it's a perspective of wanting love, and like, but start from a point of starting over, and like basically, I was in a because all my songs come from an internal perspective thing. So I'll take my situations and then I won't even exaggerate them, but I'll just, you know, make a story out of it. I'll probably clump a lot of situations together. So in this song in particular, it was about, you know, what I would want out of a relationship, out of a woman. But it could be taken in context of out of a relationship, you know, period. But in the lyrics, in the songs, it, you know, it's about a woman.
Yeah.
So like, so the perspective is from, you know, wanting it, wanting love. You know, having a yearn for love and wanting it and expressing the things that I want out of it and acknowledging the things that I've got from it.
Got it. Yeah. Got it. So the notion of relationship, marriage, you grew up in a household with your mom and dad. How long have they been married?
Oh man, they've been married a long time. Yes, going on 30 years.
Yeah, going on 30 years. So
30 plus.
When you think about relationships and marriage and commitment, how do you think about it? Do you think about it in terms of, you know, having a family and finding the right woman to marry?
Honestly, no. I feel like a true relationship is, you'll never find a real true relationship unless you find the first relationship was with yourself.
Mm. And have you found yourself?
Yeah, and I'm still finding myself. Mm. You know, I found myself and I'm still finding myself. Got it. You know, because once I know I found myself, I'll find that one. But there's no rush in that, so I'm focused on bettering what I've found out about myself.
You know for sure that you are born to breathe creativity, yes, and innovation and music.
That was a question.
I'm asking.
I'll say yes and no. I was born to actually just express. We all born to express how we feel and communicate how we feel. But I honestly believe that, and the conditions of where I was born in, and the situation I was born in, it was meant for me to express myself in this way.
Okay, so tell everybody again the name of the song we're about to hear.
All I Ever Wanted.
All I Ever Wanted. Okay, featuring?
Featuring Ciara Reeves. She's the female vocal that I sampled.
Okay.
That you hear about the beat.
All right, cool. All right, all... Say it again.
All I Ever Wanted.
All I Ever Wanted. Thomas Da Vinci.
All I ever wanted was to need somebody, was to own somebody. All I ever wanted was somebody to love, was somebody to love. Somebody, all I ever wanted was somebody to love, somebody to love. All I ever wanted was somebody to love, someone that wanna make me feel like ain't nobody above. But all I get is bitches that think all I want is to fuck. The only thing that on the mind is money, food, and some drugs. Never again, I swear I deserve better than this. Some credible shit, I'm viable, can't settle for shit. This level's to this, digging you and shovel some shit. We better as friends, these memories I never forget about you. Now you just somebody that I used to know. I gotta let you go just so I can grow. It was hard to lose, but I found control. If I find somebody, only God would know. All I ever wanted was somebody to love, was somebody to love, yeah. I don't fall anymore, no. We give what we give.
Yeah, Thomas, very well produced song. You did a very good job on that. So who helped you put this together?
I would like to thank you first and foremost, but I'd like to thank a good friend of mine, Marcus. Oh my God, that's our Marcus. Mm-hmm. That's who we go by. He recorded it for me, and Headache. He's a good, talented engineer. That he mixed and mastered it for me. So, and I also like to thank Ciara Reeves for sending me those vocals for me able to create this song.
It's very, very good. I mean, very, very well thought out. Very good production. I think people are going to love love the song. All I ever wanted. All right. So you taught yourself how to copyright music and how to publish music?
Yes.
That's a big deal.
I had a little help from some books and whatnot as well. Yeah. Everything you need to know about the music business. Written by, I think, Mark Passman.
Was that a big red book or a big
book? It's a big, thick book. It was the first one was white, and the newest edition is kind of like yellow-ish. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The music business. And there's another book that I read back in the day called The Platinum Rainbow. Mm. It kind of goes through the entire, I believe it's still in publication. You know, it tells you every aspect about publishing music and copywriting music, how to kind of make your way through. It's a great book. Trust me. I remember, I went to Atlanta, Georgia in 1985, and I was working on some music with my brother. And, I remember sitting in the parks, on my time off in Atlanta and reading that book a couple of times, cover to cover. Yeah. Look at this. Check that book out. All I Ever Wanted is the name of your song. And I'm sure you're going to do a whole lot more music. I mean, not only music, you really are, you're an educator. And I don't mean that in the sense that you're going to stand in a lecture hall in front of people. I mean that as you walk through life, you're going to really take what your ancestors gave you, and especially those who are living, your mom and your dad, and you're going to be the educator of many people. And I like your style of it, as a matter of fact. So I think your whole generation is more about the reality and the application of a thing rather than the pomp and circumstance of it.
Yeah, it is true. I try to be original within the what's going on out here, but also, emulate what's going on out here as well, because I have to relate.
Yeah. How thrown off are you by this COVID-19 and the pandemic?
To be honest and to be frank, like, it hasn't really threw me off at all, because I've been recording myself. The first album that I recorded all by myself was this album called Decode. It got actually taken off all my streaming platforms because I didn't financial reasons and whatnot. But anywho, I told myself with that album, like, okay, this is just a test. Like, I'm not doing it for perfection or anything like that, because I'm used to going in the studio and then having it mix and, getting that professional crisp sound. But when I started out doing music back in 2010, I used to record myself all by myself. And so when I went back to doing it back in, I think, 2018, I'm just gonna record myself and just hone this craft, because I want to be able to record myself and be able to have to not lean on someone else to record my music and to mix my music and to bring my music to life. Cause I feel so confined when I have songs written and produced and they're not recorded. And like, I want to get them out, or just to get them recorded. Finished.
Yeah.
So from with that, I started there, and then my second one, which is called If You Only Knew, it got better. And then my third one, which just dropped Friday, May 15th, it's called Homegrown. I upgraded my equipment from the thanks of my parents. They're my biggest investors, and I appreciate them for sure. And so I say all that to say that this COVID stuff haven't really, affected me as far as my production and my creative side of making music and to be able to distribute music also, because I got my own distribution through United Masters. They their whole marketing scheme is like, you got your own record label on your phone, stuff like that. So I'm able to distribute my music to all my to all the streaming platforms and things like that, and collect revenue, even though it's kind of hard to collect all the revenue with when you're going through someone else and everything. It's kind of hard to collect them and stuff, because how they have it set up is that I have to make $50 the first pay period in order to get my money all the way out. But, you know, a stream costs half a penny. So, as you know, right. I need a lot of streams in order to get that, which is not a which don't stress me or run me away or scare me at all, because as long as I'm able to distribute it and get it out, I know for a fact that, you know, it'll reach those numbers. So yeah. It's COVID.
And we want to help with that. We want to help with that too. So how can people reach you in social media? How can they find you?
They can find me at Thomas Da Vinci, ThomasDaVinci. At all one word, under all social platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. But I'm really active on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. But as far as, you know, promoting my music, I'm kind of trying to stay back from, you know, being socially engaging and stuff, because, you know, I don't want to get lost in the sauce with, you know, commentary.
Got it. Yeah. Thomas Da Vinci. Is that your birth last name?
Not at all.
Okay, so how did you choose that name for your artist name?
I'm glad you asked. Well, me and Leonardo Da Vinci, the famous painter and artist and creator, we got the same birthday. So I decided to, you know, emulate his name, because I see him as an artist and a creator, and he was a philosopher of his time and all that stuff. So, like, you know, I might as well go ahead and, you know, take from them, you know, and be able to create my own.
Yeah. I love it. All right, everybody. His name is Thomas Da Vinci. And check out his music, Thomas Da Vinci, Instagram and all other social media platforms. And you'll see this on my pages and all of that too. Thomas, thank you so much for being a part of the AC Green Show podcast.
I am honored. Thank you for having
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. All right, you all, listen, you all know the routine. Get to my website when you get a chance, theacgreenshow.com, and Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, all of that, The AC Green Show. That was an intergenerational conversation, and I enjoyed every minute of it. Hope you did too. Invite somebody else over here to theacgreenshow.com and check out the podcast. I'll talk to you next time. I promise you I'm going to have a great, great guest again. Or it'll be just me, and I'll be ranting about something. You never know. Until next time, be well.